Welcome to A Friend of Mine, a series of conversations with some incredible and inspiring women in business from regional and rural Australia. I'm Kimberly Furness, your host and the founder and editor of Oak Magazine, and I cannot wait to introduce you to some amazing female entrepreneurs who will share with you their experience and knowledge of what it takes to start, grow, and scale a successful business. So let me introduce you to A Friend of Mine. This is a special International Women's Day series featuring members of Club Oak, which supports and promotes your rural business through print, digital, audio, and mentoring opportunities over a 12-month period. Tanae Seymour's journey from working in a digital agency to starting her own business in the meta ad space is a testament to the power of self-belief and taking risks to achieve success. Tanae started Ads House to provide agency expertise for smaller budgets. In 3 years, her business has become a multi-award-winning national and international digital marketing consultancy, specializing in Facebook, Instagram, and Spotify advertising. In this episode, Tanae shares with us the triumphs and challenges faced as a woman running a business in rural Queensland. Tanae's story highlights the hard truths of the industry and the importance of believing in oneself despite external doubts. Meet my friend, Tanae. Hello, Tanae, and welcome to our special International Women's Day series.
Thanks for having me, Kimberly.
We are going to do a full interview with you, Tanae. You have an incredible story and you are so knowledgeable in that meta ads space that, you know, I just would love if we could share that with our community. But today we are here to talk specifically about challenges and triumphs. Let's begin with what inspired you to start Ads House.
As with every good story, I come from an agency background and I was sort of thrown in the deep end with meta ads, or Facebook ads as they were known back then. I still find it weird calling it meta. And like, I have a degree in marketing, but they don't teach you specifics. So when I was working for the agency, it was kind of like, here are our clients, go for it. It was a sink or swim sort of situation, and obviously I swam. And I swam hard. So the agency, who had 3 Facebook ad clients at the time, actually grew to me managing a team of Facebook ad experts, because the results we were getting back in the glory days of Facebook ads was just next level. As with anybody who works a 9-to-5, you do give it your all, but at the end of the day, you are replaceable. And that was certainly the case with me. I had a very bad experience. I was being taken for granted and I didn't really have the faith in myself that I could do it, even though I was doing it. And it was actually my fiance who told me to snap out of it, built me a desk, bought me a new laptop and was like, you're going to do it for yourself. So that's where it all sort of started.
It is one of those hard truths that you learn along your career at some stage. I don't know how young you are when you learn that sometimes, but it also might take a few job changes for it to really sink in. And that is, you actually are replaceable. You know, that business can and will find a way to operate without you. And I wonder if it's because we're business owners now that we realize that more than ever when we do use contractors or we do bring someone in. You know, as much as you do value their input, you find a way, you have to find a way to operate without that role.
Exactly.
When you talk about, you know, you already were doing ads yourself and managing clients and all of that within the agency, when you talk about not having that sort of maybe confidence to go out on your own, is there anything else attached to that, do you think? Is there the fact that, you know, well, I haven't run a business before, or no one in my family has run a business, or, you know, I don't have a uni degree in business and finance and accounting?
I owned an e-commerce business at the time, which was very successful. And so the business side of things, but that was always my side gig. That was always like, if it fails, it doesn't really matter. I've got a full-time job. So I separated from my partner and I had a 3-year-old son at the time, or a 2-year-old son. So I think the scare factor of, well, what if it fails? Like, I'm responsible for a small person. Like, I have a mortgage. What if it fails? What then? So it was always that. And then I met my now fiance, and he's the complete opposite to me. And he's just like, yeah, but what if you don't? what if you absolutely succeed? And he's like, I have no doubt in my mind that you're going to. And I'm like, but how? How do you have this thought? So, yeah, I think it wasn't necessarily the fact that I didn't trust that I could do it. I just didn't, I don't know. You always want that safety net, I guess. And until you jump, you don't know what's underneath. And what's underneath is pretty bloody good. Mm.
And that you're capable of building your own safety net. It's incredible when you're up against the wall and you're looking at your invoices, knowing what's coming in and what's going out. It sometimes pushes you to go, okay, what more can I do? Can I tap into that leads that I have or that group of people that I haven't contacted for a while? When was the last time I actually promoted my services on my socials and said, hey, I'm open for business or I have a spot available for a client? You know, it's getting over that ickiness of sales. You got to do it because that's what pays the bills.
Exactly. Could not agree more.
So you live in beautiful Stanthorpe, which is in rural Queensland. There's, 5,200 people as a population. It is a rural town. What challenges do you face running a business from a rural setting?
I think in my line of work, obviously, I'm digital. So it doesn't really matter where I live. I've got the ability to service people from all around the world. And I have clients who are overseas. I have a lot of Australian clients, New Zealand clients. So it doesn't really matter. For me, not that it was a challenge at all, but we moved to Stanthorpe for the quality of life, effectively. So if you're running a business online, why stay in a city when you don't need to? We actually came down for a weekend away and ended up looking at properties that weekend. And oh, if only I could go back and tell me that the prices were going to rise as much as they did, we would have just bought on the day. But unfortunately, we were 12 months too late by the time we sorted everything out and the prices had already gone the way that they did. But from a challenge point of view, I haven't really hit any challenges. I can still get in a car. I can still drive if I want to run an in-person workshop. I can get on a plane, fly down to Bendigo, run an in-person workshop. It's just what you want to limit yourself to, effectively. And if you don't want to travel, then you don't have to travel. You can do everything online. So the challenge for moving to a rural area to run my business, internet has been a little bit sketchy until we got Starlink, but that was probably about it.
So for you in the industry and business that you run, I mean, challenges are something that's easy for you to overcome. What about personally as a woman running a business?
Once again, I think we're all our biggest critics. You know, self-sabotage is real. In marketing, it's very heavily dominated by males. It's very much a bro mentality, which turns a lot of people off. So I've leant into that. And I'm actually in the process of a rebrand because my business has evolved. It's changed. I now specialize in rural and remote businesses, which is what I love. And it just naturally occurred. So it made more sense to me to align my brand with the direction that I am going in anyway. And my whole big push is Ads House is not an agency because I think agency is a bit of a dirty word. I'm sure there are people who are listening to this that have had bad experiences with agencies. And a lot of those, as I said, it's a lot of bro marketing tactics. So from that, why not lean into it? And rather than make it a challenge, make it a strength. I've always worked in male-dominated industries. I used to export live cattle from Victoria. So I was Southern Region Livestock Manager. I used to work fly in, fly out on gas pipelines. And I've always been used to being, if not the only, one of a handful of women in whatever industry that I've done. So, as I said, I just use that to my advantage rather than playing the victim.
Yeah, use it as a superpower. I absolutely love it. When you have those moments of maybe not believing in yourself or being your worst critic, what is it that you bring into play to help you through that? Is there mentors? Is there deep breathing exercises? What's your magic mix?
I don't know about you, but I have an amazing group of I'm going to call them Insta besties. Like people that you've not necessarily met before, you chat to, they're in business, they're doing the same things as you, you talk to them, and I have some really great people on there that we have real conversations. Like, you know, today was a shit day. Or I did this. And they're like, you know, okay, it was a shit day. So what are you going to do to make it better? Or what about this? Or, you know, just keeping it real. So talking to people and not putting on this facade that everything is perfect. And as I said, my fiance is the complete opposite to me, and he keeps it very real, and he believes in me so much more than I believe in myself. So for me, I'm like, well, he's always right, so I've just got to do it.
It's so good to be surrounded by someone that is a bit of a polar opposite in that sense, you know, definitely. So having been in business for just over 3 years, what have been some absolute highlights for you?
I just came back from the Equine Business Summit, which is a fantastic thing that's been set up by two young business owners, much younger than myself. And I just applaud them for what they've actually done. I've seen the hard work they've put in behind the scenes. And they're creating an event specific for the equine industry to support business owners with a variety of topics. And I was very fortunate to be asked to speak about ad psychology.
Now that was held at Flemington too. That's how good it was. Like we're talking where the Melbourne Cup is run. So this isn't some little pokey jockey club. It's the big deal.
It was very much a big deal. And some of the speakers that they had on the panel, I was like, how on earth did you get these people? Like absolute big guns that were sharing their stories, sharing their insights, inspiring, educating, all of those sorts of things. So to be part of that, especially at the foundation level, absolute honor. And I think just watching things like that start from an idea and grow into this amazing event, like that's a massive highlight for me. So part of the reason that Ads House was formed was my son has ongoing health issues, and I actually started this business just before my ex took me to family law court. As a result, I was still running the business whilst pregnant, whilst going through family law court, and I couldn't give it the full attention, obviously, that I wanted to. When family law court ended, we were quote unquote allowed to move to Stanthorpe. I could give the business the attention that I wanted it to. So last year was very heavily focused on looking at validating what I or my team actually did at Ads House. And we went heavy for awards. Now, we were up against big agencies in some of the categories, and every submission we either won or placed for both national and international awards for our ability to take big business strategies and condense them to smaller budgets. So for me, I'm super proud that, once again, imposter syndrome, you see some of the big agency names up there and you're like, I'm never going to win against these people. Like, I'm sitting here in my shipping container office in the middle of Stanthorpe, and they're in like a massive office with hundreds of staff in the middle of Melbourne, but we won. So the recognition for that just sort of was pretty powerful for me, I think.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. And just the work that goes into an award as well. Like that's not something where you just, oh, it's an online form, fill out a couple of questions. Like it's really in depth. So is that you investing back in your business of bringing someone in to help you with that sort of stuff to do it at awards? Because I'm guessing you're flat out anyway with clients. Like,
So I invested in a PR agency, and part of that was award submissions, because it is. And particularly in my industry, you have to back everything up. It's case studies. They want to see what your strategy was, what the results were, what the impact was for the client, both from a financial point of view, from a growth point of view, or whatever the requirements are for that award. So that was an investment for me. Financially, it was a big investment, but also just the time to collate all of that information and put it in an easy format for somebody who's not an ads expert to understand the impact that the ads had, because ads themselves are just one piece of the marketing puzzle. But how do they have that flow on effect for all other marketing activities? So yeah, that was, it was a big investment. I am not doing it this year. It took way too much time, but I'm so glad that I did it, and I'll probably look at doing it again in another couple of years just to keep it fresh, keep myself on my toes and keep myself accountable as well.
Well, good on you, because most people win an award and then hold on to that for at least 10 years. So like, oh yeah, we're an award winning.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
exactly.
You're like, yeah, but what year? I feel like they're those things that you do, you know, whether it's an award, whether it's some kind words on Instagram, in your DMs, an email, Google review if it's sort of more formal, pull those out, keep them somewhere. And, you know, on those really hard days that is business where you're like, what am I doing this for? What I don't know how I'm going to push through today. You look at that and you go, this is why. Like, I am actually really good at what I do. I have been recognized for that. I've had the validation. I don't know about for you, Tanae, but what the AgriFutures Rural Women's Award did for me was that validation that I am on the right track. And yeah, like my niche, it is niche, but there is a whole huge audience there that really appreciate that and gain value from it. So it's just really important for us to check back in on those hard days. So now that you've done the award submission, I mean, you must be totally across your business in terms of numbers, processes, how many clients, like all of that detail.
Look, I'm a type A personality. So structure, numbers, analytics, they're my jam. Like, and that's where I excel. I also like to, like, I get it. Not everybody is a data nerd. Not everybody gets the numbers. So one of my biggest selling points is you don't have to be a data nerd. Like, that's my job, to explain it to you in a way that you can understand. And I love it. Absolutely love it. Within my business, we're going through a massive growth period at the moment. And so I'm at that point where I need to work out, okay, what do I actually want the business to look like? And what do I need to do now to make sure that I can get to that point? And for me, I don't want to become a massive agency. It goes against the whole reason that I created Ads House. So yes, I am across everything, but it's also checking myself and going, okay, well, everybody's like, you know, you got to scale, you got to grow bigger, you got to do this. Yeah, cool. But what do I want? What's the end goal for me? Do I want to manage people? Do I want to have that added stress of team members and finding a location and being responsible for the quality of work that they output as well? But also from a management point of view, I'm responsible of, if I take on additional team members, setting them up for success, setting them up in the best way possible so that they can produce an output that's representative of my brand. And if I don't do that, if I don't take the time to ensure that they're set up correctly, then it's only going to impact the business later on as well.
Mm. There's this idea that success is growth, and growth is expansion, teams. What am I, 11 or 12 years in business? It's taken me so long to understand that that isn't, I mean, everyone's definition of success is different, but that's not my definition. And I've loved when I've interviewed a few women, especially recently, where they're like, no, I've made a conscious decision that I'm not growing this. I'm at a point where I can manage what I can and still have a life with the kids. And I think that's really admirable for some of us. You know, we've gone into it for flexibility. Can't lose sight of that.
Exactly. And like, part of success for me is, like, I've got two young kids. I've got a 6-year-old and I've got a 2-year-old, although I think she's going on 16 with attitude. But anyway, and I didn't think it would be as important as what it is, but being able to do daycare drop-off, or, you know, go down and watch assembly because my son's won an award for the week or something like that. And just having the flexibility of, I'm my own boss. If I want to do that, I can do that. My son has got a lot of health concerns, so we're having to travel to Brisbane quite a lot for checkups for him and everything. So success for me is being able to prioritize his health and it not impact my business as well. So I guess it's helpful being a type A personality because I know when all his appointments are, I can schedule things, I can block out days, I can let my clients know that I'm not contactable that day, but I'll be back on board whatever day that might be. And yeah, for me, it's not massive growth. I want it to be small. I want it to be focused on relationships and connection with my clients. And I think the bigger that you get, the less connection that you have.
It's good viewpoints there. Before I let you go, what feeling does International Women's Day evoke for you?
Immense pride. I have always worked in male-dominated industries and I have always come up with challenges because of being a woman, regardless of my education, regardless of my expertise. If you're a woman, you're seen differently. So I think it's something to be proud of. I think it's something to be owned and celebrated. Yes, we meet challenges, but as women, we can do some pretty amazing things, regardless of our sex. But we should all embrace the day that celebrates the amazing people that we are and what we can achieve.
Thank you so much for being a guest on A Friend of Mine podcast. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we will definitely have you on for a lot longer conversation where we can really dig into your story. And I can't wait.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, before you take off with all that inspiration and knowledge, we'd love for you to leave a review on our podcast so that we can continue to amplify women's voices in the media. And if you have any questions, we'd like to celebrate a win. You can always connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Oak Magazine AU. I'm so glad we've met and that now you know a friend of mine.